One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. Hell, yeah, what else can I say?
How you guys doing? This is Ryan from the Degenerate Podcast. This is the show you're listening to right now.
Woo!
Hey!
So anyway, this week, me and the fellas are going to be off doing other things.
Yeah.
So, we wanted to try, for the first time ever, a Degenerate Podcast Best Of episode. We scoured through some of our old episodes and found some of our favorite moments, and we wanted to compile them for you to, as a placeholder for this week. We will be back next week, but we really would like some feedback on how you like this episode. So make sure to hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, email, whatever, ryanshores138@gmail.com, and let us know how we did. All right.
Who are the first 137 Ryan Shores?
So, Bobby, you were telling me recently you had a little run-in with some evangelicals.
It was very interesting. I've loved having religious people come to my door since I was a teenager. I love talking to them because I love bringing them in and just being like, all right.
Do you like patronizing them or talking to them?
Now, time out. I'm familiar with Mormons.
Right.
Are evangelicals different?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yeah. So evangelicals are Christians. The evangelical movement began in the 19th century. It's the biggest...
Is it the same thing, though?
No.
They are fire and brimstone people. They are the...
Yeah.
And you will burn on the lake of fire if you do not repent. So
that's more of a Pentecostal, but...
Pentecostal is drinking turpentine and playing with rattlesnakes.
George W. Bush was the patron saint of evangelical Christians.
So really dumb.
Usually it's born again, and... There's a couple of things.
So you can't be born into it. You got to go out and fuck around a little bit and then come back.
It's a specific trend within Protestantism. And I always loved having these people come around, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, evangelicals. When I was young, during summer, that was one of my favorite things. When the doorbell would ring and I'm like, oh, it's another one. I hope it's not a salesperson.
What a sad childhood you
had. Yeah, I know. We didn't have cable. It was horrible. So I would bring them in. And I to me, it was a great study in the individual psychology of people. Because I'd be like, I'll listen to what you have to say and I'll talk to you everything. I'm more interested in what is motivating you to get up this morning, put on that suit, walk around in 89 degree heat, and talk about something that once you get into it, they really have no basis or understanding of. And so to me, it was always a really interesting study in psychology where you just ask a few questions and be like, okay, well, tell me what it is that you like about this. Interesting. So why do you believe this? And eventually you can get to a point where they're like, yeah, I don't know. I gotta go. I gotta leave.
Yeah.
But I give them water. I give them lemonade. I'm very cordial.
But is there?
I show them my dick.
Yeah.
I say, what do you think of this?
Is it pretty much
Jesus
the same,
loves this shit?
Is it pretty much the same pitch as Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, those are all very different religions.
But is it the same pitch? Like, hey, come be part of our religion.
Yes.
Is it
yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
So they started. I live in a duplex, and my brother and sister all live next door. They were gone, and I saw these two people come up and start knocking on their door, and I was like, maybe I should go out and tell them. And you guys know I have one of those like wrought iron metal doors outside of my regular
wood I'm honestly disappointed that your first reaction wasn't to get out your blowgun and try to get them.
No, I'm very friendly to these people. And so
until they cross me.
Yeah, exactly. So they did something that is always perturbing to me, which is they come up and they do the incredibly hard knock on the metal door, which sounds like you're being raided by the fucking SWAT team.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
super loud.
There's no call for this. First of all, I am 3 feet away.
That knock is reserved for emergencies.
Yes. Yeah, that is either A, I'm about to violently shit myself and I need in this house immediately, or B, your house is on fire, get your kids out.
That is like breaking the glass for a fire axe because you need to do a little gardening and you can't find your shears.
Yeah. So I get this thing, which of course my son is sitting right next to me. He's, you know, 15 months old. He starts screaming because it sounds like we're getting fucking invaded by the Gestapo. So automatically I'm a little peeved at them, but I go and I open the wood part of the door and they're through the metal screen. And it was this older Asian woman. And she was like, hey, I wanted to know if you had ever read the Bible. And I was honest. I said, yeah, I read it cover to cover multiple times. And she went, oh, you did? Okay, so you're a Christian. I was like, no, I'm not. I read the Bible.
I answered that question.
I read it a bunch of times. And normally that usually is where the conversation ends. We just kind of part ways. I go, oh, okay, well, stay cool in the heat and I'll see you later. But she was very insistent. And with her was an older white dude. And she goes, wait, you're not.
That was her pimp, right?
Yeah.
He was wearing a big Technicolor dream coat and one of those big hats from Soulfly.
Come on, let me get you into some Christianity today. She persisted, and she was like, well, you know, how could you deny it? And I was like, well, I just don't think it's very morally acceptable. I think that a lot of what that book has to say is pretty morally disgusting. It wouldn't really work out. But I respect what you guys are out doing your thing.
I admire your tenacity.
Yeah, have fun and the whole nine yards. Normally, I would have actually invited them in for a glass of water or whatever, but they just woke up my kid who's now screaming in the face. And so I'm just trying to get them off the front porch.
Right.
And she
released the hounds.
Yeah.
And she digs down and she's like, well, it's, you know, you need the Bible. Otherwise, you can't be a moral person. I was like, all right. Let's just start with this question. Let's just start with this. And if you can answer this, I'll totally buy it.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
No, I go, okay, good or bad, slavery. What's your opinion, good or bad? And she's like, it's bad. I was like, boom, we're better than the book.
Boom, there you go. I have three slaves in here. I cannot be part of whatever you got going on.
I'm like, yeah, look, here, the Bible clearly says that slavery is not only allowed, God tells you how to make a slave. You have to go through a specific process to make this person your property. I think that's morally reprehensible. And she goes, well,
that'd be a great children's book, how to make a slave.
Technically, first, that's what the Bible is.
First, you got to brainwash them, groom them.
And the guy was triped up from behind her, and he's like, no, that's not the Bible. And I was like, wait, yeah, it is. It's the Bible. And he's like, no, you must have misread it. And I was like, do you got the Bible right there? And he's like, yeah. I was like, Exodus 21. Pull it out right now. And he pulls it out, and I was like, now read it. And I made him read it out loud on the porch. And he's like, and then you should put an awl through the ear of a slave. Oh, God damn.
Like, holy shit, what else is in here?
It was great, because as he's going through, she starts yelling like, no, you have to have the context. And I was like, is there a context where it's okay to enslave somebody? And at this point now, they're playing bad cop, confused cop. it's the worst shakedown ever. Because again, I'm not even trying, like, I get it. People are allowed to believe whatever they want. I'm not trying to attack these people or take their faith away. Legitimately, I am trying to get them off my front porch so I can now calm my son down, who's still screaming about their ridiculous door knocking tactics. And so I was like, hey, well, I mean, so basically you're giving instructions on slavery. There's no context that would make that moral. Therefore, that book is immoral. And if there is that God, and I don't think there's any reason to believe that book is real in any sense of the word, but if it was, why would we worship this God who is telling us? Why wouldn't you just worship the devil? I mean, it seems like the devil's also saying bad things. Well, how are you differentiating between the two? Then they start fighting between themselves because they can't agree on the proper answer to give.
And Bobby's just like holding his hands in his face. He's so excited he caused this.
Yeah, well, so she starts yelling, the Bible doesn't say that. And then he starts yelling, well, it says that, but that's not what it means. She turns to him and yells, it doesn't say that. And he's like, well, no, it says it right here. And they're like, now they're fighting. And I feel like while they're talking, there's a little version of me on my shoulder, like, yeah, get madder, yeah.
Angel and devil, Bobby.
Yeah, I like it.
Devil and devil, Bobby.
Anyway, so my favorite ending to one of these things ever is they're both bickering at each other and then at me through the screen door and then at each other and then back at me. And I basically end with, well, listen, if you figure out an answer to this whole slavery question, I'm happy to talk to you guys about it later. But until then, it's kind of a disqualification in my mind. So maybe this bit. And before I can even finish,
he put an awl through your ear and made you a slave.
Now you have to be a Christian. Boom, king of pranks. She turns about faces, walks by, like just walks away, super flustered. He starts chasing her, yelling, wait, we still have more houses.
Okay, so there was a show, a kids show, that aired on Fox for like a season and a half in the mid-90s on like Saturday mornings called Big Bad Beetleborgs. That was the name of the show.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember that show? Holy, I'm surprised because you were like 39 when that was out. So
40, but.
So, no, I mean, all right, so 96, it was this morning kids show. It had the most ludicrous, stupid plot, even for a kid's show.
Okay.
Where it seems like they had two ideas and said, neither of these are enough for a show. Let's just mash them together.
Yeah.
So the plot of this show is these kids are living in this town, and there's like this haunted, abandoned mansion up on the hill. And they go in it in the pilot episode, and there's like the Wolfman's in there, and there's a Dracula knockoff in there, and a mummy, and they free some ghost from a piano. I don't remember.
It was the one that was on the curb that Dave's
there
friend
you go.
Made him
full circle.
Now that ghost is trapped in your friend's basement. Yeah. So anyway, they free some ghost. who looked like, someone please, as I'm saying this, Google image who I'm talking about. He looked like a cross between Jay Leno and Prince, and that was the ghost.
Okay.
I could not imagine a combination of those two. Now, Ryan, you were making fun of me for knowing that show existed because it was in the 90s and I was an adult at that time. But keep in mind, as an adult, I was still like, you guys, Saturday morning cartoons in my day were so much better. What is this Beetleborg bullshit? Yeah. Like, I had to know about what was going on.
So this is the ghost here.
Oh, okay.
All right, so this is the guy. By the way,
I like these weird neighborhoods where there's abandoned mansions just lying around. Where the fuck are the property flippers there?
Yeah, no, I've always thought that. I'm like, what happened here?
Yeah, why is somebody living in a single-family, two-bathroom house down the street when there's a mansion just abandoned up the road?
Because of this ghost. Did you not see this picture?
Yeah, all the 90s shows where there was a creepy house on the hill, everyone's living in three-bedroom, single-family houses. And then there's this like... 72-bedroom house overlooking. Like, did this neighborhood used to have a lord?
Right.
Was this a surf area?
This is not how white people work. We gentrify. We get in there.
Yeah.
Now, looking at this ghost, this guy, this character you pulled up, just to...
His name is Flabber, by the way. That's going to come into play.
Of course it is. If you're listening, if you're having trouble picturing this, if they made a movie version, he'd be played by Buster Poindexter.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
With Jim Carrey mask makeup, but blue instead of green. Yes.
So they free this flamboyant homosexual ghost from the piano.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, wow, I'm free. I'm also a genie because that's also, we're doing that too.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you guys a wish, any wish. And they decide to become their favorite comic book characters, the Big Bad Beetleborgs, which are essentially Power Rangers knockoffs.
Okay. Yeah.
So
now you've got a whole house full of monsters plus a superhero team?
Plus a superhero team.
They really did mash two random ideas
together.
And
their kids. So
this was also the high point of the era where the television show was simply a commercial for a toy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they're just like, I don't know what we're going to do. I just need them to buy this juice box and these action figures, which we'll keep releasing different versions of. And I remember because I was like 11 when this show was on. Like, I'd turn on the TV in the morning. It would start with these kids going to their favorite haunted house, and the series of boogeymen would try and get them. And then they'd talk to their old pal, Homo Ghost. And he'd be like, hey guys, I'm also Goofy. I'm pretty much trying to knock off Robin Williams and Aladdin too. Doing that.
This is why you couldn't do this show anymore. Like, this show wouldn't make sense if you tried to make it in 2018. Because in the 90s, that kind of made sense, where kids could be like, hey mom, dad, see ya. I'm off to the house with the creepy Liberace ghost. I'm gonna go hang out there by myself with my friends. See you later. And they're just like, yeah. Go get molested. Go knock yourself out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So they first go there. They fuck around with this idiot musician ghost of sorts. And then they're like, holy shit, guys, I forgot. We're also superheroes because of that wish we made.
Right.
And there's real life danger to fight. And then they have to go transform into superheroes and fight a monster. And that's the every show. So anyways, that amazingly gets canceled after like a season.
So had a good run.
Now, I hadn't thought about that show since like it was on in 1996. I haven't thought about it since 1997. I'm like, when I thought, whatever happened to that piece of shit, nothing of a show.
That show reminds me of speaking to somebody who's had too much cocaine explaining an idea they had in a dream. Like,
yes,
where they're like,
exactly.
And then there's a monster, but wait, hold on, he lives in a piano. And then he makes them all superheroes. And then,
Bobby,
but there's a Frankenstein.
Hit the nail on the head. That's how the show was successfully pitched to the studio that produced it.
I might have been.
Hey, Bobby, just side tangent. Have you ever told someone who does a lot of cocaine that a studio is interested in your ideas? Because I fucking accidentally did that recently, and that was a night of my time, and I still get texts. So that's a whole nother fucking episode of this show right there.
Ironically, it went back full circle because they're like, all right, what about the script about this haunted mansion?
I'm gonna actually get together some of my heaviest user friends and be like, by the way, everyone, a movie studio wants to know my ideas. What do you got?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna sit there with a tape recorder and I'm gonna present
just
them on this
shoveling
show.
Cocaine in their direction.
Yeah. Anyways, it would be worth every penny. So anyways, that show gets canceled. I haven't thought about it in fucking 22 years. And then I'm listening to my friend Ken Reed's podcast that's all about television. And he happened to mention it. He's like, oh, yeah, remember that show, Big Bad Beetleborgs? That was a piece of shit. And all of a sudden,
and
I
Ryan's
went,
like, triggered.
I know, I was. All of a sudden, I went, huh. And I made this horrible decision. I'm like, I wonder whatever became of the actor that played that flamboyantly purple ghost.
Oh, so wait, should we turn this into a guessing game between me and Dave?
No, I'm just hoping that this ends with him getting a new catchphrase.
So, I mean, sure, if you wanna get.
I was gonna say, Dave, let's see who can get closer. What do you think ended up happening? This was 96? 96 kids show.
Now, let me also tell you right now what usually happens when I say whatever happened to.
Yes.
Usually I'll find an IMDb, and there's a long list of CSI one episode, sure. CSI Miami one episode, CSI Las Vegas one episode, Law and Order one episode, and it's
Judge Judy as himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Never anything remarkable, but it's like, they've worked semi-consistently. They probably right. own a condo and live in comfortable obscurity. That's usually what happens when someone was, albeit a shitty kids morning show, the lead of it. That's usually what happens. So
okay, so Dave, let's guess where this guy's trajectory
is. I'm swinging for the fences on this one. Okay. I'm going to go with the trifecta of pedophile, broke, dead.
Oh, wow, he's a dead broke.
Possibly in that order.
Okay, so did he hang himself after the child porn charges yeah. came to light? Or
yeah,
it'd be weird
if we could find them.
It would be weird if pedophile came last. Like, his corpse was just molesting kids.
Well, they didn't find out until after he was dead.
He's still wearing the costume.
I'm going with the Holy Trinity.
There. Okay, bye.
In that case, I'm going to have to differentiate myself from Dave. I'm going to go the opposite direction that we occasionally see it going. I'm going Kirk Cameron. He went super Jesus.
Ooh.
And he found the Lord and then abandoned all acting.
And then he got raptured away. He's yeah. gone.
No, he abandoned all acting in order to start his own youth ministry in Kansas.
Pedophilia. Okay. Pedophilia. We agree on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to lean a little bit towards Bobby, but
all right.
neither of you are really even close. So I'm like, I look up the show, and I'm like, all right, let's find cast. I found his name. I forget what it was. It was something very generic. Like, let's say it's like John Smith or something. So, and on Wikipedia, you can't link to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, ooh, bad
sign. No page of his own, yeah.
Bad sign. So I had to jump off Wikipedia, which already I'm out of my comfort zone. But I go, I'm like, all right, I'm finding this guy. And already I'm like, you know, an hour in here.
I'm imagining an 80s movie montage of Ryan on the computer.
Yeah.
The best
around. No one's ever gonna keep me down. So, anyways,
these bad graphics, like the cybernetic version of Ryan, like maneuvering through.
He's flipping through some old file cabinets in the deep basement of a government office.
So, I go next to my go-to, which is IMDb, which has a little bit more on people than Wikipedia
right.
does.
Right.
And it's like, okay, found his page. No profile pictures, no fun facts of any kind.
That's especially bad when the person was on a TV show they could just screenshot. Like,
yeah,
that's like,
yeah.
We really don't care.
Yeah. So it looked like...
Well, it's like $24 a year or something like that. Yeah. You can't afford that.
It looked like someone started a Facebook profile just to spy on their ex-girlfriend and never used it again. Just no picture, no info.
Ryan got catfished.
He's an IMDb bot.
I just fucking imagine Doc Brown like, he's been erased from existence. So I'm like, all right, but all right, I got a name and nothing about him, and I got two credits. That show was his first acting gig as far as IMDb is concerned.
Uh-huh.
And then like 3 years after it was canceled, maybe two, he did some sort of like no budget weed comedy that went straight to DVD in like 1999.
Sounds okay. About right.
And by the way, bad move if you're trying to be a kid star, by the way. That you just shot yourself in the foot. Now no one wants you because you were in this shitty kids show where you dressed in purple and had like a prosthetic chin and kind of a pedophile. Huh? And then you did a weed comedy. Anyway, so that was it. Two credits. So I'm like, all right. I can find this guy. So I go further down the rabbit hole.
I like how all of a sudden you're like Liam Neeson in Taken. Like, yeah. You just can't be derailed.
Oh, no.
I want this to end with Ryan finding a phone number and calling it, and the guy answers. And he's like, I don't know, he comes to your house and washes your car or something.
I figure it's more like Ryan finds out that the guy's really down on his luck. Ryan buys up a bunch of his credit card debt from a third party creditor and then starts harassing him by going to his store every day.
Hey, guys. Warmer.
He's in the coffin right now, isn't he? He's waiting to come out. Our special guest.
Aaron's getting no use. No, I said that to her. I forgot. Anyway, so I start picking up tidbits. Like, I find like a defunct website or something like that. I find out where he was born. You know, so I find out his middle name. I get on social media and I start looking. I find the guy. I find the guy.
What social media platform?
On Facebook.
Okay.
So I find him there. I'm like, all right, here goes nothing. I shoot the guy a message. I'm like, hey, man, this is a long shot, but were you on a kid's show like 22 years ago that aired for like 8 episodes or something?
This responds with a blue painted dick pic.
This guy hits me back immediately. Like, this guy had been just sitting in front of a computer screen waiting for someone to contact him for years. And he was like, Yes, I have. I'm back in Texas. I'm ready to work again. He's like, he starts.
He offered to grant Ryan one wish.
And he did. It was to talk to him. So let me give you a little background on this guy. This guy just goes off because he evidently went to my page. You're like, this guy's in showbiz. I'm back, baby. So anyway, he just sends me a fucking a novel. He's just like, and he's like, he's okay. I'm going to sum it up for you because it took me a long time to read what he sent back immediately.
I'm just going to say, be nice, because if you look to your page, he's going to listen to this podcast next week, and we don't want him to like hear himself disparage and put a gun in his mouth. And
that is true.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So I'm going to really give you the abridged version of who this guy is and what he's been up to. So anyway, he tried. I talked to him for like 3 hours. He tried for a little while after his shitty kids show got canceled to make it in Hollywood and failed miserably and, you know, got one more role 3 years later, then said, fuck Hollywood, and moved back to Texas where he's from. And I don't mean like Dallas or Austin. I mean like Galveston. just fucking no one for miles, no neighbors, Texas. So anyways, he did that. He left in disgrace. And ever since, he has been waiting and very seriously for them to reboot the series. He talked about it several times. He's like, do you know anyone at Comic-Con? Because I really think these were actual words. I promise you I'm not exaggerating. He's like, you're in entertainment. You know someone at Comic-Con. I think they want to know the person behind Flabber. You know, get inside his head a little bit. Because I had a lot of character motivations that no one ever asked me about on that show. No one ever asked me about it. I had a whole backstory. They never went into it. So when they reboot this series, I'm returning to it. I know they're going to get someone else to play me, probably like Brad Pitt or someone, but I'm not going to let it happen.
There's so many ways I would have wanted to play this if I was you. Like, first off, I would have thought about hitting him up saying that I was on the show with him just to see if I could get him to buy into that.
And time's up, motherfucker. You touched me.
Second,
see if I get him to admit it.
When he brought up Comic-Con, I would have gone one of two ways. I would have been like, what's Comic-Con? Or I would have been like, yes, I am friends with Jim Comic-Con. He's my neighbor.
See, I really did think about that, but you yourself said, I don't want this guy putting a gun in his mouth. I'm not.
Well, I mean, I don't want it to be directly linked to us.
Well, sure.
I would like it to happen, just, you know, somebody else to blame.
All right, there's some people where you gotta knock them down a peg with little pranks like that. This guy could not be further down the rung.
Okay, have you guys heard of something? There's a Facebook method of phishing where, because of the algorithms Facebook uses to advertise to somebody, if you have access to their profile and you go to their profile, you can tailor an ad that will essentially advertise only to them by kind of mixing certain criteria.
Tell me more.
So what if we did that? Like, we advertised, we set the parameter so it would advertise on his Facebook page only, and we paid, like, I don't know, a nominal fee, $15, and we put up an ad for the new remake of Beetleborgs. And again, we had some A-list star as playing the Flabber character, and we just advertised it over and over again on his page.
So you want him to kill himself?
I don't know.
I wanted to get really pissed at his agent.
He does not have an agent. Are you
agent?
Shitting me?
Agent? I don't know who you think has an agent, but it ain't him.
This guy's agent is Sprint, and it only works sporadically.
So, okay, by the way, I don't know why you're messing with this guy. I mean, what about him? But anyways, you know what? you're about to find out more about him. Right. I don't understand why at this point you want him to be messed with. You will in a second. So anyways.
By the way, my impetus to mess with him was it sounds like he's a little bit too full of himself off a small bit role he played 30 years ago. So
I think mental illness comes into play here, man.
Fair enough.
This guy's been sitting around for 22 years in the middle of the Texas desert.
Yeah, seems more like desperation than full of himself.
Yeah, this guy thinks that this kid show that was immediately canceled, like fucking is going to get a reboot and like he thinks there's going to be...
Because they didn't focus on the ghost enough. That was the heart of the story.
Yeah, no, he really thinks that like with all this Marvel stuff that's happening with Ant-Man...
He did other shit besides giving these kids powers. He had a whole other life going on. Let's talk about that.
He sold them pot.
Decorated the shit out of the inside of that piano.
So anyways, to recap to this point, he was on a shitty kid show for 10 minutes. He let it go to his head, really lived the Hollywood lifestyle for about 6 months, then left in shame after tasting defeat, moved back to Texas, is in the middle of nowhere, waiting for there to be this reboot of his show that's never coming. Are we all on board?
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same page. Okay, so then I asked a question that fucking has kept me up nights. I said, so are you still acting? And he goes, no, not until they do the reboot. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing for money? He says, I track down relatives and sell them a secret worth millions.
Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, my God, I'm so interested. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ryan, what's the secret?
I said, please go on. He said, well, my family has rights to oil in Texas. To oil land. We're heirs to it. And I have a lot of relatives, distant relatives, that don't know that. So I track them down as a sort of secret private PI. I find my distant relatives and I sell them the information. I'm like, so let me get this.
Wow, I got so many questions.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions too. Ask away. I'll tell them what you told me.
Why would he take the information from himself?
Yes, wouldn't it be more
millions?
Profitable to just get this inheritance all to himself?
Aha.
He's dividing it in half every time he offers it.
So that was the first question I asked. He is only entitled to a portion of it.
Okay.
So he has already probably fucking gone through whatever he inherited from getting his piece of land. If any of this is true, by the way,
right.
Let's get that out of the way. I understand this could be a fantasy world, like A Beautiful Mind or something, where it turns out nada. But no, he's only entitled to a portion of it. So he's got relatives out there that are all entitled to a piece of the action now.
Okay.
So he tracks them down, tells them, I have a secret to tell you, but you have to let me have 50% of it if you want me to tell you.
Wow.
So he finds these people all over the United States, relatives of his, and instead of being like, I'm your Longlocks cousin, he's like, I'm going to extort you.
Yeah.
I have something.
It's like a weird pyramid scheme.
That is crazy, and one would think it has to be true because he would only be getting 50% of it if there really was money, so there'd be no incentive for him to do it unless it paid off.
Right, exactly. So that's how I was like, okay, there's no way you'd be doing this unless, you're getting 50% of nothing. So he tells these, he's like, oh, and they always sign over because 100% of nothing is nothing, but they have to give me 50% of what they're entitled to. So,
what if we start calling him up ahead of him and offer 25-75 split?
Of something that we have no claim to.
Yeah.
Perfect, I love it.
He doesn't have either. We have just as much claim as he does.
Hey, listen, Ryan Shores, Degenerate Podcast. Listen, you don't know me. Have you ever seen Big Bad Beetleborgs?
Click, hello?
Hello? Hey!
He lived in a piano!
Hey, Ryan again. Listen, you hung up a little bit. Let me just... Okay. So there's this gay purple ghost on a kid's show, and you're related to him. Hello?
I'm going to make you a millionaire.
Oh, hello. So anyways, I'm like, so you just call up your distant relatives and extort them? He's like, yeah, fuck them. I'm like...
Did he tell you how much he gets per one?
No.
Interesting.
No.
It'd be really funny if it was like $19.
Could be. But I tell him, I'm like, one thing he asks, I'm like, okay, so when you call up a stranger and tell them, I'm your cousin. I have valuable information for you that's worth millions, but you have to sign a legal document.
See, but again, if it's worth millions, he's got to be making half of worth millions, you would think.
Yeah, but also, how many times can you do this? Because I feel like you do it once or twice. It's not like, let's say you had 25 cousins. You don't know most of them, and they're not going to talk to each other. Once you tell one guy, he's not going to call up and be like, hey, Bob, guess what? We're millionaires.
Right, right.
Like, it seems like...
Maybe that's in the contract.
So I kept asking these questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started to get very nervous and frustrated with me for asking them. And just wanted to focus on... using my connections to get back to this Big Bang Beetleborgs reboot that the people are clamoring for. And he kept restating that fact. Like, the people out there are wanting this. And, like, you go to his page, it's like, all his page is him posting behind-the-scenes pictures of him in makeup, like, with an undershirt on in his dressing room, like, giving a thumbs up. And like...
And they're current. Like, he's still putting on the makeup every day, just
it'll
waiting.
It'll be like one like, and the person that liked it has his same last name. And you're like,
I bet you he's doing that thing, too, where he is driving the car that was fucking awesome in 96, but now is, like, he's driving, like, a Supra, you know? Like, oh, man, that was baller in 96.
He's driving a 96 Lexus. He's, now, that was the height of luxury.
He's driving the NSX that the Wolf drove in Pulp Fiction.
The spoiler. Is duct taped on.
Yeah.
Oh, and also he gave me some hush hush information. He's like, hey, so you know I have this my signature big chin that all my fans know me for, right? I'm like, sure. Uh-huh. He's like,
you're the big chin comedian. That's what everybody would think of.
He said, in '96, I was gonna go on the Tonight Show and do a bit with Jay Leno, or we switched places because we both have big chins, but they scrapped it at the last second. Hey. Don't tell anybody, or else, you know, the Tonight Show could come after us because that never aired. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll really sue us for that one.
There's literally nobody left there from that era, honestly.
Yeah, so, like, all these things, he's like, hey, by the way, that's hush hush insider Hollywood stuff, kid. So, anyways, when are you going to put me in touch? I see from your page. Oh, God. That's literally, I see from your page you're with Golden Artist Entertainment. So I looked into them, and I think I'd be a great client. I'm like, I've got to go. I have to go. Like, all right. Well, we're going to be in touch here. We're going to be in touch. I'm like, so anyways, I kind of want to kill myself now.
Dude, the saddest ending to this story would be, or the saddest possibility, he could literally move back to Hollywood. Everyone would find out that he used to be this star on this show for one season. He could sell out shows at clubs on off nights. Like,
you
that's how
I
fucked up it is.
He can certainly get a guest spot, I'll tell you what.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so fucking sad that the state of comedy is at that someone like that, because that could happen. He could absolutely do that.
Star of a 90s TV show? Absolutely. Okay. That wasn't even basic cable. That was that was network.
That was network. Absolutely. That was Fox. Fox Kids, but still Fox. Okay, well, anyway, wish him the best of luck, and I'll follow up with him in a little while.
And soon we'll be torturing him using targeted Facebook ads like the Russians did to our country.
Yeah. I'll stop doing this when you fucking tell your relatives about the money that's coming to them. I gotta read this to you guys. This was just brought to my attention by the unofficial fourth degenerate, John Grooves.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Okay, this is a piece of fiction. The cover, an actual book. This, if you look at it, Bobby, just from afar without reading too much about it,
right?
This looks like your average James Patterson novel or Tom Clancy.
Yeah, it looks like a Hunt for Red October kind of thing.
Yeah, something you would see at either the grocery store or airport.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Looks like, you know, a 50-year-old balding man would read it.
It's a big red star, and it says trigger warning.
Big red star. That's the cover.
Dave, I think you may have a lawsuit against them. I believe an album called that.
William W. Johnstone. Not Johnston. I'm not misreading that. Johnstone.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, with J.A. Johnstone. Well, I don't know what he's doing there. So, trigger warning, the tagline is, there are no safe spaces.
Wow.
Let me read you the synopsis.
It's fantastic.
Of this novel. Oh, by the way, right when you read the synopsis, you realize he couldn't decide on a tagline. He decided to throw another one in there, political correctness won't save you.
Got to get them all in. Who knows?
Which one are we doing here, John Stone?
By the way, if you're thinking that political correctness is going to quote unquote save you in any situation, you're probably not understanding the concept. That's like being like peanut butter. It won't save you. And you're like, that's not what it's for. It's to make sandwiches better.
If your colon has a peanut allergy, it might save you.
Your peanut allergy won't save you. I'm not saying it will.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I would like things to be a certain way.
I'm not saying this is going to save us. Can we just stop yelling the N-word from the back of pickup trucks? That's all I'm saying.
No. All right. So, and again, this is not satire. I read this. I just wanted to save everyone a Google search, but please go ahead. Is that when I read this, when my buddy John posted it, and I'm like, oh, somebody did this. This is fantastic.
I for sure thought it was satire.
It's like
too.
The Onion, but as a fake
yes.
book.
Yes. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to look this up. They're going to be like, this is a pretty popular meme going around. And it's like, no, this guy's got like 81 books. All right. Former Army Ranger Jake Rivers is not your typical Kelton College student. He is not spoiled, coddled, or ultra-lib like his classmates who sneer at the soldier boy, quote-unquote.
Yeah, that happens a lot, by the way.
Yeah, every time when I was in college and some guy came in like, and it just said like Army Strong, I was like, fuck you.
Oh, really? You were a Ranger? Fuck off!
Yeah.
And just to let the listeners know, and Bobby know, about one word in every single sentence is in quotes. It's like this guy just discovered the quote button on his keyboard.
I'll tell you where all of them are too. Next paragraph, Rivers is not quote unquote triggered by quote unquote microaggressions. He is not outraged by quote unquote male privilege and quote unquote cisgender bathrooms.
Isn't this amazing?
He does not need quote unquote safe spaces. Or coloring books. Who said we need coloring books?
I wouldn't mind a coloring book.
I didn't even know that was a stereotype. I didn't even know it was a stereotype.
Coloring books won't save you, Dave.
I would love to see.
We'll see about that.
I would love to see an Army Ranger or Navy SEAL showing up to cash in on his GI Bill.
Right.
And going, by the way, Professor, just to let you know, I won't be needing a coloring book.
Like, right.
This is intro to philosophy. Did you think there'd be coloring? All right.
I did bring my own crayons, though.
They're the shape of M16 bullets. All right. Rivers is not triggered by microaggressions. He's not outraged by male privilege and cisgender bathrooms. By the way, of course he wouldn't be outraged by cisgender bathrooms. Right. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Jake needs an education. And I bet he does. And when terror strikes, the school needs Jake. All right, already, this sounds like when I was in third grade. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting like in class, like staring at Bree Condon. I'm like, the only way to impress a girl that hot is if like terrorists took over this classroom.
And I
single-handedly like fended them all off. I know you had that fantasy.
Dude, I still do that today. I had this bit that I was working on that I was saying, and I think this is true for some, at least in some
extent. Cisgender people.
Yeah, yeah. If you are in a room with a bunch of guys, let's say you're in a classroom, there's 15 dudes, 15 chicks. Almost every guy in that room has decided if the apocalypse hit right then and the shit happened, which guys in that room he could beat up and which women he would first take as his brides. They've already decided that. It's been figured out since second period.
And J.A. Johnstone, a.k.a. William Johnstone, has written a whole novel to that effect.
Dude, this novel sounds like if in an alternate universe, Sean Hannity wrote Red Dawn. This is what it sounds like.
Without warning, the sounds of gunfire plunge the campus into a battle zone. Okay, battle would imply, Bobby, stop me if I'm wrong,
that somebody else is going to fight.
Yeah, they're able to fight back. Right. Like, did the students have guns?
Yeah, or maybe there's a cop. I don't know. Let's
it's
see.
A massacre if it's not a battle. So, okay. But if you call it a massacre, well, then that calls for gun control. We can't have that. Without warning, the sounds of gunfire plunge the campus into a battle zone. A violent gang of Dave, what is this word?
About marauders.
What is marauders? I'm sorry.
Bandits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a roving group of bandits that are taking whatever they want.
Yeah.
I can just see fucking Johnstone like a roving gang of... I can't say pirates. Pirates is weird.
What are land pirates? How do you call land pirates?
Land pirates. Okay, I used terrorists once. I'm going to use it again.
I want to say brown people, but I just got to think of something that'll fit in there.
I mean, we're going to definitely call them brown people within the first chapter.
Yeah. The way he says roving band marauders, it makes me think of the end of Weird Science when they're having that party and the motorcycle gang breaks in and tries to take over.
There you go.
It's so okay. So the Hills Have Eyes freaks show up.
Yeah.
They go woo and steal all their milk. All right. So the Marauders invade the main hall, taking students as hostages for big ransom money. That was his adjective. He went with Marauders.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then just
it's like he just lost the thesaurus for a second. He's been using all like semi
big money bucks.
Big ransom.
Big ransom money bucks. All right. As a veteran and patriot, Jake won't give in to their demands. Because you don't negotiate with Marauders.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't do that.
Also, by the way, I like the idea that he could. Like, somebody, they'd be like, we're taking these kids hostage. And he would just pull out his wallet and be like, all right.
Yeah, like, they're not making demands of
him. Let me solve this.
They're not telling him
to. They gave me a meal plan. I said no to the coloring book. You don't want a coloring book, do you? Because I don't have one.
I mean, like.
I also turned in a meal plan because I am not spoiled. I want you to know that.
Not giving in to their demands isn't his choice. It's right. Just the only option he has. He's not a multi. Millionaire.
All right. So, as a veteran and patriot, Jake won't give another demands. But to fight back, he needs to enlist his fellow classmates to school these special snowflakes in a. He said snowflakes in the dust jacket.
But isn't
of the
he referring
buck.
To the Marauders as snowflakes?
No, his
no,
classmates.
He's, okay, this is to school.
He's
got
to teach
okay.
these snowflakes.
I got you.
Yeah, but if I bet he needs to enlist the fellow classmates to school these special snowflakes in the not so liberal art of war.
See how I did a play on liberal arts there, Bobby? Jesus. What do you think of that? That's pretty good, right?
This time, the aggression isn't micro. Oh, my God. I don't think Johnstone has a Twitter or I'd be sending him this episode. Oh, that's for snowflakes. It isn't micro. It's life or death. And the only the strong survive. Well, your classmates are dead by your own admission.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is interesting. One is there has to be this going around everywhere because this is the political version of trashy romance novels, right?
Yes.
This is like,
yeah.
This might as well have Fabio on the cover wearing an Army Ranger uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
Riding a horse for
making
some reason.
Making out with a bald eagle.
Yeah.
Who did not consent.
Yeah. It seems like it's that this is just like political jerking off, basically.
It's
conservative
it's,
porn.
Yeah. It's conservative softcore porn.
Yeah. I think we should kind of up him by doing the super ultra far left version of this, and it would be about a guy who goes into the military, but he's super far left, and he is super into safe spaces and respecting people's boundaries, but he becomes the best Navy SEAL of all time.
The biggest problem with this book, how is Jake Rivers going to stop these marauders when I'm certain this college is a gun-free zone?
Oh, absolutely.
So like, he doesn't have a gun. What's he going to do?
I bet you that's a plot point. I bet you that is a big plot
point. Oh, no doubt. This is when John posted this, everyone took turns on entries that it might appear in this book. Number one, betting dollars to donuts that when he does happen himself upon a gun, or even when the terrorists start shooting, some overweight, acne-scarred little puke chimes in, but this is a gun-free zone, and gets blown away. All right, also...
No, it's going to be like this, but this is a gun-free zone. Yeah, I got this gun-free.
I don't think John Stone's that smart. I think he's just going to go, not anymore. Dun, dun, dun. He actually typed out D-U-D. I'm thinking there's that. There's definitely going to be a guy that goes up to the terrorist and says, do you know who my dad is, and gets killed.
Stop saying terrorists. They are marauders.
Marauders, land pirates, brown land pirates.
Yeah, we basically, they crowdsourced the book in this discussion thread. It was amazing.
There's probably a scene where somebody says something like, quick, everybody run. And he stands up and says, these colors don't run.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
By the way, I was just at a 4th of July celebration, like a little neighborhood one, and a guy was wearing very...
Wait, you weren't participating in the Civil War?
No, not at all.
Shame
was,
on you.
Second Civil War.
Deserter!
He was very proudly wearing a shirt that said, these colors don't run. And he's like a good 350 pounds, and I was like, oh, that's irony. these colors don't run, and that's why they have diabetes.
These colors don't run. They also have trouble with stairs.
Yeah.
I went to a Home
Depot. Even a light jog is really asking a lot of these colors.
I went to a Home Depot last Monday, and I see a guy walking out, like, I'm going to say late 40s, he's with his kid leaving the Home Depot. He's got a gray t-shirt on. In the middle, American flag, right in the center, it says, God, country, period. My only thought was, what are the fewest amount of words I'd need to use to piss him off? Probably not many.
Well, the funny thing about the God country period thing is, you saw him walking out with his kid. It's like, what about family, bro? Come on. Like, I'm sorry, if you go God, country, you don't even have your family in the equation, you're a piece of shit. You have your priorities really wrong.
I promise you, if you said that to him, if you called him on it, he would pull out a gun from his waistband, point his son's head, and shoot his son. That's how committed he is to God, country.
I will be forgiven. And there you have it. The first edition of the Degenerate Podcast Best Of episode. Again, we really would like to hear feedback from you, so hit us up on Facebook or Instagram. Let us know how we did. We'll see you next week, cruising with the twos. Ooh, yeah, time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing by.